The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Farm Joke Day, Tony. You got one?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. What do you call the waste matter that seeps out of the backside of a cow?
What?
The Bears offense. That's what you call it.
Why are you hating on cows? Why do you want to insult a cow like that?
I have to explain something to people who are looking at me in case my eyes are wandering. I got an iPad about a foot from my face that I can't read. I got to look at a certain spot, but there's another prompter over there, so I'm going to be darting around a little bit.
Welcome to FaceTiming me? What are you doing?
I think so. I think it's called FaceTiming, but that's for young people to figure out. In today's episode, the Bucks get Drew Holiday. James Harden turns down $50 million a year, and Theo Epstein leaves your Cubs, Wilbon. And we begin today with your Chicago Bears vanishing on offense last night, scoring no offensive touchdowns at home against the Minnesota Vikings. The Bears lost their fourth straight game to fall to 5-5. They may have lost Nick Foles, was carted off the field to a hip injury. The Bears stink, and the Vikings are climbing back into the wild card picture. Wilbon, what did you make of this mess?
You just said it all, Tony. I mean, this Bears offense looks like the offense of my entire life. When I've heard Hall of Fame defensive players like Dick Butkus and Richard Dent, you know, and Brian Urlacher more recently, and I'm sure they're guys now, I'm sure Khalil Mack feels this way, they walk to the sideline after a turnover or a series of downs, and they look at the offensive players and say, just try to hold them. We'll do the heavy lifting. And that's what they tried to do last night. They had a special teams touchdown. They had an interception by Mack, whatever that recovery was that led to 3 points. The Bears offense is the worst offense in the NFL. Maybe not statistically, but it's embarrassing. But the franchise at the top, the general manager and the coach, don't seem to know enough to be embarrassed, Tony. They don't have a line. They have one running back, and he was out, so they couldn't run the ball. I mean, they're wasting a good set of receivers. We don't have a quarterback. We don't have a coach. We got nothing on that side of the ball.
Yeah, so we've had this conversation for many, many years that you grew up always thinking there was no quarterback in Chicago and the defense would have to do it or a running back would have to do it. It's time for a change now. If you get 108 yards passing against a terrible pass defense and 149 offensive yards in a game, and the change isn't just the guy who's calling plays. Nick Foles, since he's a starter, you're 2-5. He's 7 touchdowns. 7 interceptions. He's only good when he's wearing an Eagles helmet, Mike. Well, I mean, there's statistics that prove this. There's got to be a change on offense, I guess, to Trubisky. And if that doesn't work, and I know you think about this all the time, maybe you have to change coaches because this just isn't working. Not working
at
all.
In this modern era, how many guys do we talk to all the time, and particularly quarterbacks like Jaws and Steve Young and who are often guests with us? And they say, no, you have to score now. Yes, you still have to bring a good defense. Yeah. You still have to play special teams. You have to have a modern, you know, space age offense. And the Bears have a 1920s offense. It looks no different than it did for Red Grange and for Gale Sayers and for Walter Payton. It's the same, Tony. It's so discouraging, except I'm accustomed to it. I tell you all the time, this is all we've got. And now at the top, are they going to make changes? I don't know.
I would say this. The Bears did it the right way last night. They said Dalvin Cook can't beat us. He had 96 yards, but it was 30 carries. It's
30
yards
carries.
A pop.
They
said Cousins has to beat us, and Cousins and Thielen did.
We can still play.
Even though Cousins was 0-9. And I'll just say this briefly.
Yeah.
In the last 5 or 6 weeks, Minnesota and Atlanta are two of the better teams in the league.
Yeah,
in the
they've
last
come
five
alive.
Weeks.
They've come alive, Tony. We got to stop talking about the Bears because I'm too upset about it now. So we'll move 90 miles, Tony, essentially – north and a little bit west. The Milwaukee Bucks are making their play to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo and win a title. Last night, the team traded for Drew Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic. sending off Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, Dante DiVincenzo, plus three first-rounders. Giannis' contract is up at the end of the season, Tony. So do you think these moves, these changes, will do enough to prevent him from leaving?
So what they've done is they've said, we made a mistake letting Malcolm Brogdon go. We'll try and replicate him with Drew Holiday. We'll bring in Bogdanovich, who's a good shooter, 37% from three, average 15 points a game off the bench, take a little pressure off Chris Middleton. And as you say, the moves are designed to keep Antetokounmpo there. I watch sports on television. I see people say, and I'm quoting them now, oh, Giannis loves it in Milwaukee. Oh, Giannis doesn't want to leave Milwaukee. I have no idea how they have come to that conclusion. Why would somebody not listen to offers? Why would somebody not declare for free agency? Just tell me why they wouldn't do that.
Well, Tony, this is your philosophy of life all the time, that bigger and better places with bigger lights, brighter lights is always attractive to everyone. You and LeBron James seem to agree on that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know Giannis so well that I can predict what he's going to do. But I'm getting to know Giannis. I've gotten to know him a little bit, Tony. He's looking, if he can, to stay in Milwaukee. That is not the case for a bunch of people who are going to be free agents. Giannis is looking to do this because he also knows, Tony, the city of Milwaukee is changing, I'm not going to say radically, gradually, but around that arena whose star attraction is Giannis. So the question isn't what you're asking. The question is, are they going to put a good enough team around him, and are these the changes necessary to make him say, I can win right here. I can challenge anybody. I don't have to go out in the second round if we have these players, and this is a start. Do you believe that? I, on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm about a 6.5 on that right now.
Okay, so I will say this. Here is their jeopardy. Holiday's a free agent at the end of this year. He can move. He can say, I don't want to be here anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Giannis can move and say, I want to entertain offers. And then they don't even have any first-round picks for the next 400 years to do anything to float that boat. A long, long time ago, they ought to win a championship this year, because a long, long time ago, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar delivered a championship, and then he said, okay, I gave you what you wanted. Let me out of here. And that's what happened to Milwaukee. That's
and, of course, Tony, as a postscript, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lew Alcindor, was a New York kid who went to college Los Angeles.
That's right.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has a much, much different life. And so, again,
Mike,
I'm not going to say that I know what he's going to do, but I'm going to say. You know?
Nobody knows at the moment.
Nobody knows.
We'll stay
nobody
with basketball, knows. But we turn now to James Harden, who is going to be a staple on this show in upcoming days. Harden has reportedly turned down a 2-year extension from Houston that would pay him $103 million. And I will pause a second so that number can sink in. Now, Harden is still obliged to Houston for the next 2 seasons, but this tells you he wants out. Wilbon, what do you make of Harden turning down, $103 million?
Tony, there's a lot here. There's a whole lot going on with Houston and some things that James Harden clearly doesn't like. Some of it has to do with the team and what's going to be there. Russell Westbrook has asked out. Mike D'Antoni, not there anymore, right? And so Daryl Morey, not there anymore, who put together some teams that at least stayed in contention when James Harden was there. You know, he could go out and find the big star he wanted, whether it was Westbrook or Chris Paul, whomever. There's also political stuff that I'm told, and a lot of us are told, that James Harden isn't thrilled with. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but that seems to be the case as well. So if he feels, you know what, I can still go somewhere, I'm going to make $80 million or so over 2 years subsequently. So not signing up for 103, it's not the loss that it may sound like in headlines. But for basketball purposes, real life, personal purposes, it sounds like James Harden is saying, I don't know if I need to be here. Let me listen to some other things.
I don't know his politics at all. I don't know him at all. $103 million is generational wealth for the next 200 years for anybody with the name Harden. It's a tremendous amount of money. And it was a wow to me that he would do this. He's never won anything. But I want to get to the rest of Houston for a second. Houston at the moment is a dumpster fire. They got a new owner who came in a year or two ago and ran his yap about how he was smarter than everybody else. And here's what's happened. Mike D'Antoni is gone. Daryl Morey is gone. And the only two players anybody wants to watch now want out of there. Okay, so you're headed for Sacramento land in Houston. No one's going to pay any money to watch your team. It's a desert at some point. So congratulations on the purchase, Mr. Fertitta, because this thing has gone down the drain.
But, Tony, it doesn't have to. And by the way, $86 million, last I checked, if it was 86 or 88 or 9, that's generational wealth too, which is what he could pick up elsewhere. So he's going to have generational wealth. But, Tony, let me say this. If you made a trade and you got the pieces that really mattered to you from Brooklyn, a team that was in the playoffs, right, without, pre-Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they've been in the playoffs. They've been competitive. And you supplant those players. Houston knows how far they're going to go with James Harden. Not all that far. Not to a championship. So don't tell me that if James Harden leaves Houston, it's all of a sudden Sacramento. I'm not buying that for a second. If the proper trade is made. Now, how did Brooklyn get with those guys to the playoffs? Explain that to me.
Brooklyn had a coach that they fired and they brought in two new guys and you don't know what's going to happen in Brooklyn. He doesn't have to end up in Brooklyn. They own him for 2 years. They could send him to Lithuania to play with Lonzo Ball's bad brother, LiAngelo. They could do whatever they want. He has no leverage. They have leverage.
Oh, let's take a break. He has leverage.
Not as much as they do. They got him for 2 years. He's got a signed deal coming up. Russell Wilson was the presumptive MVP for most of the season. But is he getting passed by Kyler Murray?
And the Raiders and Dolphins are both off to 6-3 starts. Who's better? Have you been paying attention to the NBA and people who have long-term contacts and have leverage? What are, clearly, the air is thin in the attic.
I don't think he can name where he's going to go if they decide they can get a better deal somewhere else.
That's true.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Time for Toss Up, where I play the role of 4th and 10, and Mike plays the role of Tyler Bray.
Who's that?
What's first?
Toss Up, take play Thursday. Who has impressed you more this season, Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson?
They're just going in different trajectories right now. Russell Wilson was the MVP for 5 weeks, 5-0, Mike. 19 touchdowns, 3 picks. Last 4 games, 1-3 with 9 touchdowns and 7 picks. He's not the MVP now. Kyler Murray... Oh, no. His last 4 games, the Cardinals are 4-1. He's got 10 touchdowns and 3 picks. And by the way, only Dalvin Cook has more scoring touchdowns than Kyler Murray in the whole league, and he's a quarterback. I want somebody around the league to say maybe Cliff Kingsbury was a good hire and not the worst hire in mankind.
Well, you know what, Tony? The fact that we're even making this comparison means the answer is Kyler Murray. We know what Russell can do, right? I mean, we know what he
can do.
So
that's
not a surprise.
Cook, as they say.
But But Tony, Murray, and it's not just the Hail Murray. It's they should have won the previous game, and then they'd be clear by a full game in the NFC West. They are now locked in a multiple-team tie. But it's Murray right now. But Tony, you know this can change. I mean, this can Russell Wilson can get hot again.
It's a total must game. It's a total must game for Seattle. So we'll see what they've got.
They
must win.
Absolutely.
Next.
Toss up, better 6-3 team, the Dolphins or the Raiders?
Okay, so let's look at who they've lost to. Miami's lost to the Patriots, the Bills, and the Seahawks. Vegas has lost to the Patriots, the Bills, and the Buccaneers. That's a wash. We're really going to find out the answer to this on December 27th when they pay each other, when they play each other. Miami could be 9-3 because their next three are the Broncos, the Jets, and the Bengals. But the next game for Vegas is Kansas City. They already beat Kansas City in Kansas City and then took a lap around with the bus, the Andy Reid hated. If they beat them again and they have two on Kansas City, there's nothing on Miami's resume or anybody's resume to match that if it happens.
Miami is the number five team's defense, the number five defense, team defense, in the league, Tony, in terms of points allowed. Points allowed, I'll take any time. I know they're much further down. And yards allowed, the official measure of team defense.
No, but points is what matters. Points.
Fifth in points allowed matters to me, too. But, Tony, going back to the Raiders, and also I'll take Miami to answer the question. The Raiders are going to get popped. They're going down hard. And your boy Gruden, they're good enough for him to have that silly smirk again. And he's bobbing and he's weaving and he's nodding. He looks like a bobblehead doll.
Yeah.
They're going to get their butts whipped.
Yeah. You know what happened the last time you said that? You said Notre Dame was going to get crushed. How'd you do on that one, Mike? That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Greg Marshall out at Wichita State.
Wow. I mean, that is pretty big news, Tony. And Theo Epstein leaves the Cubbies. Where's Theo going to go now? I got a landing spot for him.
Can I tell you that's as big a wow as Greg Marshall? Theo Epstein leaving the Cubs.
No, it isn't. We've known since spring training he was going to leave.
Yeah. You've known.
About it all the time.
Somebody got in your ear.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 75th birthday, Elvin Hayes. Once upon a time, the Big E may have been the greatest big forward in NBA history. He teamed with Wes Unseld to give the Washington Bullets their only NBA championship in 1978. He was a 12-time All-Star, a great scorer and rebounder, a Hall of Famer. But as great as Hayes was in the pros, he was an even bigger star in college. Because in college, he beat Lou Alcindor in UCLA, and as a result became Player of the Year in 1968. UCLA was unbeaten and on a 47-game win streak when Houston beat them in the Astrodome 71-69. Hayes went for 39 points and 15 rebounds. Alcindor, playing with a scratched cornea, got only 15 points. It was labeled the game of the century. In the rematch in the NCAA semifinals, UCLA got revenge by a wide margin, 101-69, and held Hayes to 10 points. UCLA went on to win the national championship. But beating Alcindor, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was known then, was unheard of. He lost only two games in college, and Elvin Hayes achieved a kind of basketball immortality by doing it.
Tony, it makes me crazy when people who are old enough to know better don't mention Elvin Hayes as perhaps the greatest power forward of all time. He played center early in his career, as you mentioned, and then when he got to the Bullets, he played next to Wes Unseld. Talk about formidable.
That's right.
You know how many games Elvin Hayes missed youngsters out there who want to take nights off? In 16 years, Tony, how many games did Elvin Hayes miss?
I'd say 25.
Nine.
Am I close?
He played 80, 81, or 82 every single year.
Overbid. Happy anniversary, David Klingler. Let's go for the Houston double. On this day 30 years ago, Klingler set an NCAA record by tossing 11 touchdown passes to lead Houston to an 84-21 win over Eastern Washington. Klingler completed 41 of 58 passes for 572 yards. In his four seasons at Houston, Klingler set school records for passes, completions, yards, and touchdowns. In 1990, his junior year, Klingler set the NCAA record for touchdown passes with 54, which was ultimately broken by Hawaii's Colt Brennan, who threw 58 in 2006. But Brennan played three more games than Klingler. Klingler finished fifth in the Heisman voting in 1990, behind, among others, Ty Detmer of BYU and Rocket Ismail of Notre Dame, far bigger football programs than Houston then. Eventually, Klingler went number 6 overall in the NFL draft to Cincinnati, but he was a bust. He was 4-20 as a starter there with 16 touchdowns and 22 interceptions. College was definitely kinder than the NFL for Klingler.
Yeah, Tony, the people who were skeptical about Klingler in college when he was piling up those numbers and, you know, during the pre-draft period, they turned out to be right. But I wonder, in a different time and place now, where so much of what Houston was doing is more accepted now, more widely,
yeah,
would his life turn out to be different? Would his career turn out to be different now?
Happy trails, Theo Epstein, the most accomplished general manager in baseball, the one who guided the Red Sox and the Cubs to world championships after 86 years and 108 years of droughts, is leaving the Cubs. Epstein had hinted at this for a while, and it came as no surprise to Cubs owner Tom Ricketts. Epstein ran the Cubs for 9 years and made the Cubs a sustained contender, making the playoffs 5 times. Epstein's Red Sox were perennial contenders as well. There is, of course, immediate speculation that Epstein could end up with the Mets or the Phillies, but Epstein is telling friends and associates he intends to spend this coming season working with nonprofits, not baseball teams. Epstein said, quote, "I do plan on having a third chapter leading a baseball organization someday, though I do not expect it to be next year," unquote. Wilbon, he goes to the Hall of Fame, right?
Straight to the Hall of Fame, period. I'm going to get off that for a second. Of course, today's speculation from all the media talking heads out east and the writers is that he'll go east. He's got to go to someplace on I-95. No, he doesn't. He can go anywhere he wants because he's the best. And I got a way he can stay right in his home. He likes to walk to the ballparks, likes to walk the neighborhoods in Chicago. Take over the Bears, big boy. I know he could do it. I know he would do a better job than the people running the Bears now. He would.
Quick to the big finish. You sucked all the air out of the room. Greg Marshall resigned as head coach at Wichita State after allegations of physical and verbal abuse against players. Your thoughts?
He's going to have to do a whole lot, Tony, to clear his name from just the allegations. The Padres gave Mike Clevenger a 2-year extension while also saying he'll miss next season following Tommy John. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, they love him. He's an ace. Mark Stein says the Knicks and the Hornets are the two teams with potential interest in trading for Russell Westbrook. What's the best place for him? Not I-95,
I'm sure.
He's going
to wind up in New York. You know he's going to wind up there. The next two games for the Miami Hurricanes will be rescheduled due to COVID. Will they even finish the season?
Maybe not the scheduled season, but they'll finish us season. Last one, action tonight. Two games. Pick the winners, Mike.
Tony, I'm going to go Buffalo and Kent State. Anything other than that would be huge upsets tonight.
Out of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here is SportsCenter.
Jay Whitby, you carried us. Shout out. This guy can play golf, Wilbon.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.